Obviously, at the Seder, you will read through it and explain it. For now, that's one of the advantages of a model Seder. There are so many favors that Hashem did upon us. Now, the purpose of the Song of Dayenu is to break down and understand and have appreciation. Very often in life, someone does a tremendous thing for you. I'll give you a small example. Your parents paid for your schooling. Your parents put you through school. So what does the average guy do? He says, "Mom, Dad, thanks. I love you," he says at graduation. He probably doesn't even buy them a gift. A guy gets married. He says, "Mom, Dad," in his speeches, he'll say, "Thank you very much for bringing me up." But imagine that a guy would say, "Mom, Dad, I know it wasn't easy for you to conceive. I know you went to fertility treatment. And I know that afterwards, Mom, the pregnancy was so terribly hard for you. And Dad, day in and day out, you did the shopping, you did the cooking, you did the cleaning. You held the pan by Mom's mouth as she was vomiting into it. And you kept saying, 'It's worth it, we're finally going to have a baby.' You went through 9 months taking care of me. You could barely afford breakfast, lunch, and supper, and every so often you'd skip a meal in order to buy Mom the prenatal pills. And I appreciate it so much that I am, thank God, healthy. Then when I was born, you guys did everything. You worked so hard that I'd get the proper nourishment. You took care of me day in and day out. And those nights where you couldn't sleep at night, you held me and you rocked me. I was a baby. I was crying. I don't remember it, but I know you did it. I know how many nights you were at your wit's end holding me as I was wailing my head off. They say I was a colicky baby. So I guess for many nights you held me and nothing would calm me. And nonetheless, you gave me that love over and over again. And then when I was a kid, how many times did I make trouble in school and you were there for me? How many times did you make me breakfast, lunch, and supper? How many diapers did you buy for me?" Notice we haven't even reached the last decade, but there's so much to thank for. Do we ever bother to do that? Do we ever bother saying thank you to our parents with all the details? Do we ever break it down and say, "You know, when I was 5 years old, I could tell you till today I feel bad. I must have been 11 or 14, I don't know, and I broke my mother's favorite vase." And what's funny is the last time I visited my parents, my mother said to me, "You remember who bought me that vase?" And my mother remembers that on Mother's Day 1 year I bought her a vase. And I remember I bought it because I was feeling guilty of sin because I broke my mother's favorite vase. And my mother always told me, "Don't play with a ball in that room because my vase is there." And of course, like kids always do, I didn't listen. And I did break that vase. My mother remembers that I got her a nice vase. I remember that I broke her favorite vase, right? We remember different things, but that's the way parents are, right? You remember the positive about your kids. But do kids remember all the positive their parents did for them? No. You ask the average kid, he's got a list. "I remember when I begged you, let me go with all my friends on that class trip, and you wouldn't let me until today." The kid's holding it against them. "All my friends got rollerblades, but I was the geek who couldn't ride on rollerblades." And kids have all these stupid claims against their parents. Why? They did so much good. Do we remember that? The Haggadah is teaching us a basic concept. Show real appreciation. There's tremendous good. And when a person can show appreciation, then his life is a pleasant life. If you can say thank you, if you can appreciate, then things are good. Dayenu. So the Song of Dayenu is where we stop in the Seder and we break down the redemption and we start saying thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for that and thank you for that and thank you for that. If it were only for this, we should spend the whole night thanking you. That's the Dayenu. Now let's go through it. Elo Elo Otziyanu Otziyanu Mim Mitzrayim Elo Asavayim Shvatim Dayenu. If he would only bring us out from Egypt and not punish them, even though they deserved it, that would be enough to say thank you. He didn't have to punish them. Elo Asavayim Shvatim Velo Asavei Eloheyim Dayenu. Now why is it important that Hashem punished the Egyptians? That's part of it. Everyone would know. And also, it's a totally different feeling. You know, imagine your wife tells you, "Gershon, you're the best. You're just like your brother. You really are amazing, just like your brother." You know, it doesn't feel so good. I don't know if you have a brother. Doesn't feel so good, right? So if Hashem would make things great for us, But then the Egyptians got away scot-free. You know, I saw an article the other day that says that Hitler lived the good life in Argentina. And it really bothers me. It's one thing that my grandparents made it out alive, but it really bothers me to think that he lived the good life for the last 50 years in Argentina. My grandfather, my grandmother lost 4 siblings. I lost a large part of our family was lost at his hands. And I sit here and I ponder, and I just read it and I say to myself, why does it bother me? It shocked me how much it bothered me. Till today, I'm still reeling from it, from the idea that he lived the good life for the last 50 years in Argentina. Okay? Something bothers me. I'm unnerved by it. So if we would leave Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians were left in Mitzrayim, and they were okay, so what if they murdered our babies? So what if there were hundreds of Jewish babies that Pharaoh soaked in their blood? So what? You guys made it out. You're okay. Comes the Haggadah and says, if Hashem would have taken out of Mitzrayim and not punished the Egyptians, it's enough to say thank you. If he would have punished them and not destroyed their gods, that's also enough. So what if they believed in their gods and that's what gave them the strength to do all that evil? That's still enough to say thank you. If Hashem would have destroyed their gods but left one god around, the firstborn, that would still be enough to say thank you. If he would have killed their firstborn but not given us their money, so okay, so we would have left Egypt poor people, it still would have been enough to say thank you. Die, die, no, die, die, no, die, die, no, die, no, die, no, die, die, no, die, die, no, die, die, no, die, no, die, no. אילו נתן לנו את ממונם ולא קרא לנו את הים דיינו. אילו קרא לנו את הים ולא עבירה מתוכו בחרבה דיינו. די דיינו, 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 דיינו. So here we stress the importance of the splitting of the sea. The splitting of the sea was a very important moment. Because at that moment, Am Yisrael, Vayaminu, Bashemu, Vemoshe, Avdo. Until that point, the Jewish people saw Hashem is punishing the Egyptians. But at that point, they saw Moshe raises his staff, the sea splits. Moshe raises his staff again, the Egyptians sink. Until that point, Moshe would do things for Pharaoh, but the Jewish people as a whole were suddenly witness to the danger, and suddenly they saw prophecy, they saw Hashem is taking them out of Egypt. So the moment of the splitting of the sea was the moment of the completion of redemption. It was the moment that we finally lost our oppressors, right? They sank. It was a moment of appreciation where the Jewish people saw a revelation of Hashem. It was very close to what happened at Sinai. The Jewish people suddenly see, wow, Hashem's taking care of us. And they saw that Moshe was doing what Hashem said. So it was a moment that brought us a million steps forward in our connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. And even so, we say, if Hashem would have given us the money and not split the sea and not taken us through it, that would all be enough. אילו שיקר צערנו בתוכו ולא סיפק תוכנו מנמר 40 שנה דיינו די דיינו
דיינו די דיינו 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 דיינו.
If we would have made it alive on one side and they would have come out alive on the other side, we should still say thank you tonight. Now, a greater miracle then all the miracles of Egypt was a miracle that lasted for 40 years. And it didn't have to happen. Hashem could have taken us into Israel through oases. Hashem could have taken us into Israel right away. But no, Hashem gave us a miracle that solidifies our understanding that Hashem runs the world. The miracle of the man for 40 years is possibly the greatest miracle in Jewish history. Because a miracle that lasts for 40 years where the Jews travel, food falls to the ground for 2 million people. That's something that's inexplicable. There is no other miracle to my mind in the Torah or in world history that comes close to the miracle of the man. The idea that the Torah tells you exactly where we traveled, and anyone could go and check out those places and see, you can't live there. There's no way 2 million people could live through the desert that way. And the Torah records, and we have this on tradition, you got man 6 days a week. So you'd say maybe it was a natural phenomenon of those days. But why did it stop on Shabbos? How did it stop for Yom Tov? There was a two-day Yom Tov. There was a Yom Tov and then a Shabbos. No man suddenly. How does that happen? So to my mind, that is the greatest miracle in the whole Torah, the man. So here we're saying, and even if we didn't have that, we'd have to say thank you. Hashem would have taken care of us for 40 years, but not through the man. Could have been different ways, right? Every day, different animals could have come in. We could have learned how to grow things hydroponically, right? We could have grown things. There were other ways to take care of us. Okay, so at this point, I usually tell my wife before we start the dayeno that in 20 minutes we're up to the meal. Okay, so if she needs to put stuff on the fire, this year we won't have a fire because it's Shabbos. That's difficult to deal with. But usually on Pesach we do have a fire. We leave the fire so you could heat food more quickly. This is the time to put it all up. Meaning if whatever's not up yet has to go up, because now what we're going to say is how much more so do we have to thank Hashem for all the details of what Hashem gave us. Now we come to Rabban Gamliel Hayomer, and that's the conclusion of Magid. After that, we're basically just going to sing the Hallel. And according to Rabbi Feinstein, it is this last paragraph, these last paragraphs from here on, which is the bare minimum that every person has to say. He would always call his wife and daughters and tell them, okay, now from this point onward, say with us, make sure you don't miss a word from here, because this is the minimum. Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer.
The mitzvah is also for women.
Correct.